Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. You can email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're here till 11 o'clock. All the lines are off. Filled up. Everyone woke up. We knew your problems were still out there. We'll do our best to get to all your calls, and thank you for joining us on this Saturday morning. And we're going to go back to Tom in Harwinton so we can figure out what's going on with Firefox. And we did some research, Tom, while we were going over the news break there.
Okay.
And Bob found a few things directly from the folks at Mozilla talking about this issue specifically. Right, Bob?
Yes, that's correct. They've been taking away support for these API add-ins because
right.
These are vulnerabilities that are built in to your browsers, whether they're BIE or Firefox or Google or what have you. And these are what a lot of hackers have been using in order to hijack your browsers. So they're not supporting them anymore.
They're purposely taking them away, Tom.
Yeah, I have found this to be the case. They're deemed legacy, and if they're legacy, they don't function anymore under this new version.
Yeah, and there's a way also for you to migrate from your 32-bit version to a 64-bit flavor, because you have a 64-bit operating system, correct?
That is correct.
So we're going to put a link up there for you as well. It's easily found, too, if you do some searching, and you can simply...
Really?
Yeah, follow their instructions and get you over to a 64-bit flavor. You may as well utilize that flavor of the browser. It'll work faster for you.
But if you go to Computer Talk with Tab
and
click on the archive links, we posted a link there specifically for you.
Exactly.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so definitely the way to go. Also consider Chrome. I know we've been a big fan of Firefox for many, many, many years, but Chrome is faster, and I'm not a Google lover or anything like that. I mean, right now...
Chrome is the number one browser.
They really are. And we see it in our business, too, where third-party applications prefer Chrome for its speed. So you may as well have it as a backup if you want to have a second browser on there.
I have considered that, but I figure Google's so intrusive, I really don't want anything to do with them. I've used Firefox for so many years.
Yeah.
I'm just familiar with it.
No sweat. I that's fine, too. No sweat. I totally agree with that thought as well.
Would you put up a link for Chrome so I don't have to go looking for it and end up at the wrong place?
We can, yeah, but if you go to Google, and I noticed that you Yahoo, so if you went over to the Google page, you'll see that they have a link up there. You know, browse faster, use Chrome. They're selling it all
care.
The time.
Yeah, they have a little box that opens in the upper right-hand corner.
Yeah. Oh,
okay, all right. Well, I'll give that a shot, too. Maybe I can get my email functionality back.
Correct. So, yeah, the changes you were mentioning as far as when you're using a browser-based email, obviously, right? Is it through Yahoo?
It's Outlook. It's the web-based email from Outlook. It used to be Hotmail.
Okay, so you're using the Outlook.com.
Yeah.
So again, back to your browser having the ability to display this stuff. Try Chrome. It might be better at dealing with those changes that have been made to your browser, or the 64-bit version of Firefox might deal with it better.
Okay.
So try both of those things. Obviously, IE, Microsoft's browser, would probably work, quote-unquote, the best with Outlook.com because that's a Microsoft product as well.
Yeah.
Not that I'd recommend IE.
No, I don't want to use IE. You know, like I mentioned before, there's an update to 55.0.3. So, you know, maybe that fixes this, but I didn't want to get into it since I already started the call with you.
Yeah, I would go first over to your 64-bit and then update.
Okay.
And that way you have the latest and greatest of everything. And maybe you're right. Maybe that'll solve your issue, too.
Okay. All right. Thanks very much.
All right, Tom.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Once you like something, and I definitely agree with sticking with it. We have found, though, that Chrome is lately faster. And I don't think you're actually hiding from anybody. You know, whether you use Yahoo or IE or any of these, now your internet provider can pretty much track where you're going. And people are talking about using VPNs and paying for those services. And we've talked about this in the past as well, where those VPNs may or may not even be effective. Some of them advertise being encrypted, and it turns out they're not even. So it's really hard to hide on the internet and get privacy on the internet. You're a digital connection. So just assume everybody's watching what you're doing.
Everything you do on the internet is no different than being put in your local newspaper.
Yeah. Well,
except nobody reads the local newspaper anymore.
And the newspaper will get it wrong as far as the quote. Let's go on to Brian in Southington. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
Hey, I got a quick question. I recently bought a new computer from Costco.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's running Windows 10.
Yep.
And it didn't come with any, it only came with like the built-in Windows Defender for virusware.
Yeah, perfect. It's a great antivirus for home use.
All right. Then that was my question. I was just curious or wondering what your opinion was on it and whether or not it's adequate without me having to go out and buy McAfee or Symantec or somebody else's product.
Yeah, so I would say it's adequate as a AV for home use. However, you should consider a web filter like OpenDNS along with Defender. OpenDNS is also free for home users and will greatly improve your security, because you're not going to be able to go to the sites that'll deliver the nastiness to you. They'll block you from those malicious sites, which is a good thing. And, of course, you can block other folks on your network as well from accessing those sites, so you can save other folks from themselves. So
I've heard you mention that a lot. So
it's really it's the best way to fly on the internet, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I'm semi network. Well, I'm more network savvy than PC savvy.
Okay, then OpenDNS is exactly along your up your alley then, because basically all you're doing is choosing a safer network.
Yeah.
So check it out, Brian.
I will, man.
All right.
Go BKMB.
Definitely go BKMB. Right.
All right, man. Thank you very much.
You got it. BKMB, Blue Knight Southington Marching Band. We're starting the season up again. And we were actually, my wife and I were up at the concert on the lake up at UConn. One weird thing about the UConn Marching Band and that concert on the lake is they point the wrong way. They're like they're playing to the lake. And but other than that, it was great. And there's some great BKMB representation in the UCMB. And so it was a great concert in the lake. But the marching band season's starting up, guys. And thankfully, I'm not the president of the band anymore. I get to kind of just be a parent. So let's go on to Dennis in Norwich next. Hey, Dennis.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call this morning.
Sure.
I have a Dell desktop computer, so a few years old.
Yep.
And I did the Windows 10 update that they put out when they first came out with Windows.
Yeah.
It's been running great ever since, but recently, within the past 2 weeks, they wanted to do a major upgrade of Windows 10.
Yep.
And three times it's tried, and three times it's locked up my computer to the point where I had to turn it off, turn it back on manually.
Yeah.
And then it would restore my previous version of Windows automatically.
Same exact call we got first thing this morning. So, again, the boys at Microsoft have been trying, boys and girls, sorry, have been trying to figure out a way to make Windows 10 ubiquitous across all machines. And they promised that because they want to be kind of Apple-esque, right? They want everything to be that one operating system, but they can't quite seem to get it.
Yeah.
And you're not alone. So you had a Windows 7 machine, and you bit on the free upgrade, right?
I did.
And you were sort of compatible then, and you're just less compatible now.
Yeah.
And Microsoft doesn't care if you're not compatible.
How can I stop this forced upgrade? Is there a way for me to do that?
I don't know.
I think you can go to Windows Updates.
Yeah.
And I think you can hide it.
So we say this with a little bit of, I say with a little bit of uncertainty, but because Microsoft is really wrenching this down people's throats. Basically, as far as I was concerned, it was considered malware to some people because they were updated without their consent. They were kind of tricked into doing it, and it actually damaged some folks' businesses because they kind of forced it down their throat. So Bob could be right, and we can go look to see if there's a link to block updates of Windows 10, but I would contend that Microsoft will change that and force that update because they really want to keep pushing the updates, and they really don't care if Dennis's PC from Norwich blows up after it tries it because they...
Well, the newer versions of Windows 10 are not compatible with the older
processors.
I think it's version
the fifth gen.
So it's got to be sixth gen or newer.
Seventh gen. So sixth gen is mostly mobile. Well, seventh gen is mostly mobile, but yeah, it is kind of sixth gen. You can use that.
And so, it's a shame because the original Windows 10 version worked very, very nicely without any problems.
Yeah,
that was by design.
Welcome to Microsoft. It's a bait and switch.
You bid on that. Now, you know, time for new PC.
Yeah, so basically, if you have an older generation processor, you can't even do updates. Microsoft has literally put it in as crippleware.
Wow.
So you can still buy older generation processors right now. But if you load Windows 10 on them, you will not get an update ever again.
Wow.
Why, right? Why? Because. Yeah. Because somebody at Microsoft said because. And there's some, obviously, some marketing mathematical reason that's in their best interest, not in yours, to not allow you to update the Windows 10 if you're running a fifth-generation processor. But there's no reason for that, really.
How long before we get it to be operating system as a service?
Yeah, you're going to rent it from these guys forever. I don't know.
That was their original plan.
We'll go look, Dennis, to see if there's anything that you can do to block these latest updates, because clearly it's not working for you. But I would bet you there isn't.
Yeah, I keep trying to delay it because it wants every time I turn the machine on or you know, go online, it'll come up and ask me if I want to update now, and I keep saying snooze or sleeping or whatever it says next.
Yeah, you delay it. Yeah. Yeah, we'll see if we can find it, but I don't think there's a way, but we'll see.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right, Dennis, good luck.
Take care. Bye bye.
Bye bye. All right. So Mike, take a break. All right, we'll step out for a quick break. We got Mark and Ray. Two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. So, yeah, we are confirming pretty much that Microsoft is set as an automatic update operating system, right? So that's really what they want to have happen. And there are ways to stop the updates. Some of them are, most of them have to do with changing the registry settings, which is something we don't like to have you do. You could, if you're running on Wi-Fi, you can turn your Wi-Fi connection into a metered connection. Metered meaning you're kind of paying by the megabit. And Microsoft won't force the updates because they assume you're paying for the internet connection or the data connection. So that can help. But if you're connected via Ethernet, there is no easy way to set that as metered. But we'll put a link up here from CNET. There's a link out there. There's one from Windows Central. And you can try to limit these things. Again, the issue happens to be for those of you who had upgraded from a Windows 7 configuration, and now your machine is not as compatible. It keeps getting further and further away from compatibility of Windows 10. You're having all these issues with these latest updates. Again, Microsoft is not doing a good job going back and checking for those that they forced to get that free upgrade to make sure everyone's compatible before they force these updates down your throat. And we've had two calls today of machines literally hard locking or freezing and having to revert back to a previous config. And then, of course, the user now has to be constantly saying delay or don't upgrade going forward. And that obviously is a silly way to operate. So we'll put some links up here for you to take a peek at if you really want to stop the upgrade. If you're running a current version of hardware, I would hope that version of Windows 10 will always be compatible. I'll hope because we've been doing the show for over 20 years. If you've watched or listened to how this whole process with Microsoft has gone, all you really have is hope. They tend to break it. Period. Let's go on to Mark in Northford. Hey, Mark, what's up?
How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good. Beginning of the program, I heard you speaking about fraud and
identity theft. Yeah.
And I have Frontier for my provider.
Yeah.
And they have I've signed up for their Frontier Secure.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're aware of it, but it's pretty good. When you're doing banking on your home computer through Frontier, Secure will, as soon as you open up a bank, just the website, just before you even log in, as soon as you bring it up, it automatically blocks. A drop down comes down and says that, you know, you're now, you know, I forget how it says it, but it's like an extra firewall to block activity while you're on that bank site.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can turn it off when you're done. And if you go on to a credit card to pay a bill, credit card site to pay a bill, it pops up. So it's an automatic extra layer of protection to keep people from trying to, you know, hack into your bank accounts and your credit card accounts.
Interesting.
It's pretty cool. I mean, yeah, you ought to check it out. But
Well, it sounds like we'll check it out. So you never know if it's just a little marketing thing saying, "Hey, we know you're on a banking site. You're extra secure," or are you actually extra secure?
I'm guessing it's
so.
Probably.
I hope so. You know.
I know.
I would guess.
If I try to turn it off, it won't let me turn it off. It keeps popping back on. So it's forcing itself on me. So I'm hoping that it's doing something good.
Doesn't creep you out that they know you're on a banking site?
No.
Why? Do you trust them? Why do you trust them? More do you trust?
Oh, I used to work for them.
Oh, there you go.
No, I don't know. You know, I know that's kind of ludicrous. But the other thing is that I have a couple of older HP laptops.
Yeah.
I know that age means that I should probably upgrade and everything else. But the thing is that they're not very large.
Yeah.
As far as memory.
Yeah.
And is it true that more memory will give you faster speed? In other words, they're kind of sluggish.
Yeah.
They're always kind of sluggish. Well, I probably have like 2/3 of the memory, or maybe even 3/4 of the memory is used up now with whatever crap is in there.
Right. So that's the hard drive space you mean, right?
The hard drive, right.
Yeah. Hard drive shouldn't affect performance. You can have a trunk full of stuff in your car and you can still go 65. So that's not the issue. Memory, RAM for the machine, yes, can improve your performance. So if you have 4 gigs of RAM, 8 gigs of RAM, 16 gigs of RAM, the more RAM can improve your performance, but it also is combined with the processor and other things. So not just the hard drive space. If the machines are 5 or 6 years old, though, Mark, I wouldn't spend any money on upgrading them, okay?
No. Right. I definitely want to get something better, but so I should go for...
Hang on one sec. We're going to a hard break, Mark.
All right.
We are back. Going to be here till 11 o'clock. A little working man here for you. Feel free to get online. We got 3 lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Did a little research on that caller about the Frontier Security. Don't see anything special. Most likely what he was referring to was the fact that when you connect to a banking site or any kind of payment site, they're going to use something called HTTPS, as in Sam, for a secure connection. And most likely he's getting a little browser notification that he's connected in that way, which is good. Also, they offer, you know, safe surfing and what have you, but OpenDNS offers that for free. Frontier will charge you $6. So you can get all the technology of surfing safely through OpenDNS that we've been talking about. So I'm not sure if there's anything extra they're offering other than a notification that when you connect, you're seeing that you're connected through a HTTPS browser, but that's not really the be-all and the end-all if you happen to have a keylogger on your system. You know, I don't know how safe that still is, but every little bit helps, right? So if he feels more safe, that's great. Let's go on to Ray in Burlington. Hey, Ray.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Doing fine. How are you?
Good. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I've been hearing your show today, I've heard a few other comments about folks upgrading to Windows 10 from an earlier operating system. I have something similar. So I have a Lenovo Yoga Pro 2 tablet laptop.
Yep.
When I purchased it about 2.5 years ago, it had Windows 8.1.
Yep.
I did perform the free upgrade to Windows 10 about a year ago.
Yep.
And there are a couple issues, but the one that's kind of maintained that I continue to have some issues with is I started to experience some screen flickering when I'm on battery power.
Okay.
So the screen would kind of blink on and off, and if I hit the return key a few times, it would stop. More recently, I've had it occur more frequently, and the way to, I'll say, to temporarily correct it is I just close the screen down, open it back up, re-log in, and seems to work for a while. Mm. But I have done some searching on the problem. I've seen a number of things where I mentioned it might be because of the charge issue, going into battery power and disabling your power saving technology, something like that. I also thought maybe I update my drivers. So
yeah.
I'm not sure what else to try, but curious to know if it's something that maybe you could help me out with.
Yeah, drivers is the first thing we would look at. We'd okay. want to see if there's an updated video driver for that Yoga for Windows 10.
Okay.
You just go out and you'd go to Yoga. You'd go to Lenovo directly and put okay. in your make and model and see if there's a new video driver. That could correct the issue.
Okay.
Lenovo also has a utility that should be installed on it that's Lenovo Updates.
Okay.
And you might yep. want to run that, and it's pretty darn good.
It's supposed to grab the latest drivers for everything.
It does a fantastic job. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Okay.
HP has one as well, so it'll take a look and say, hey, there's a new BIOS update or there's a new driver update. So that's the first okay. step always. If it's still flickering, yep. though, it could also just be a physical problem with the monitor.
Okay. Yeah.
Nothing you can do there other than decide to get your monitor repaired, but it might be more expensive than it's worth.
Right. So you're saying, I think you mentioned Lenovo driver update should be an app or a feature
yes.
on the tablet?
Yep.
Okay.
Normally it's automatic. You know, they try to interface with you all the time. What were you going to say, Ray?
Well, one other thing I was going to ask you about was I've used a number of the OSLogix products, the Defrag, Boost Speed, Registry Cleaner, and when I was getting the, I think it was the Boost Speed recently, it also popped up about driver updater. Mm-hmm. I know you mentioned the Lenovo driver updater on the computer. What's your opinion about the OSLogix driver updater? Is that a decent driver updater also that's worth purchasing and using on an ongoing basis?
No, if it's not from the manufacturer, I wouldn't use it because lot of times that they also install other things that you don't want.
Right.
And so I would steer anybody clear of any of that. I just don't believe in them, and they're giving you something else. If you want to fix your computer, you want to go to the manufacturer of the device or the manufacturer of the computer.
Yeah. I agree with Bob. Sure. You know, any kind of third parties can be risky. So hopefully Lenovo's updater is correct in knowing what drivers you need.
Oh, I've got a lot of clients that's got that. And
yeah, we're Lenovo partners, so.
It's pretty, pretty awesome.
Good. One last question. This is, I think I was able to modify this over last year, but initially I had my cursor at times, whether I'm in Word or I could be in Microsoft Note or some different applications, typing an email. My cursor where I'm trying to type will move and it'll jump on parts of the screen. Is that something that also could potentially be a driver issue with the...
Yeah, always start there with drivers, yes. But if you have a pad on the laptop, like a trackpad, your thumb could be touching it as you're typing, or the heel of your hand could be touching it and moving it around. That does happen a lot.
It happens to me all the time.
Okay.
Yeah, so it just could be you're brushing it, and it's a little sensitive, and it's moving it around. But always update your drivers first.
Okay, great. Thanks very much for the help. I appreciate it.
Hey, good luck, Ray. Let us know how it goes out.
I will. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Hopefully it's not a physical issue with a flickering screen. Let's go on to Jim in Collinsville. Morning, Jim.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh, not too bad. DLNA.
DLNA.
Are you familiar with it?
No, I haven't heard of it. What is that all about?
It's a media transmission protocol.
All right.
You can send video or pictures from your computer to your TV set.
Cool. You become a media server.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I'm familiar with it now, all of a sudden.
I have a 5-year-old LG TV.
Yeah.
And it came with a DLNA dongle.
Yep.
That connects to a USB port.
All right.
And on my PC, I have a Hopage tuner connected to an antenna, and it basically turns your computer into a combination TV and DVR.
Yeah. This is right up Bob's alley. He's done that himself.
Yeah. No, that works great.
Yeah.
And I've always been able to access what I record from my TV via
NLA.
Digital
DLNA.
I forget what it stands for.
Yep, yep.
All of a sudden, as of yesterday, when I go to the DLNA input and select a folder that videos or pictures in, it tells me that that folder is empty.
Ooh.
Yet when I go to the computer and look in the folder, there's lots of stuff in it.
Hmm.
And I looked online for solutions to it, and I can't find anybody that had that problem.
All right, so you're missing your data.
Well, I found a lot of people got the problem, and I don't have a solution for you yet, though.
Windows 10?
Well, yeah, the Windows DLNA, it's a service that you put on so that it works with your TVs and what have you.
Right.
Yeah.
And like I said, I see a lot of people that make appliances that support it, and it apparently breaks quite a bit, but I don't have an answer for you yet.
He's not kidding.
It's probably kind of an isolated case, but.
Well, considering I never heard of it until just a second ago, for me it is, but you know your media is there. Can you play, is all media gone, or is it just
yes.
all media?
Any folder I go to, whether it's a video folder or,
okay.
or photos or music, it says the file is empty.
All right, so I'm going to guess then that DLNA is using some sort of database to manage all your media, right? So it's probably not using just an old file structure and saying, oh, you know, Jim's got a file called, you know, dogs.whatever, and that's the video I want to play. It's probably a database it's managing, so it knows more about these files and is dealing with managing the files. I bet you've got a database problem with the DLNA system where it just can't decipher what it's got in its database to show you anything, even though you know you've got data. That's what I'm going to start looking up. We got to take a break anyway, so can I put you on hold and have us do a little bit of research to see if there's some sort of corruption in that database that I'm guessing that could be cleared?
Okay.
So let me put you on hold for a sec, and we'll do a little research for you. All right, Jim?
Okay, great. Thanks.
You got it. So we'll see if we can help Jim out. We're going to have three lines open for you. Feel free to get online. And Dr. Alessi will be coming in at 11 o'clock, and he'll come in with Healthy Rounds and give you a second opinion on your health advice. So stick around for that. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. We have one line open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. And Jim, you still there?
Still here.
All right. So in the research I did, I kind of did go off the idea that DLNA works in some sort of database to kind of catalog what you've got for files. And it would seem that you need to force your DLNA to re-index. It's lost its index. It's lost understanding for your files. Now, I haven't had enough time to figure out exactly how to force that to happen. I'm hoping, because you're a DLNA expert, you know where to go in the software to force a re-index?
In general, yes, not specifically DLNA.
Okay. The idea here is that somehow it doesn't know that you've got the information there, so you've got to force it to know it again, and a re-index is how you have to do that. And there's many forums on this. There's a whole DLNA community out there, from what I understand. So you just need to force a re-index. I say that with quotes around it. You just need to. But
okay.
I don't know how many files you have, but clearly the whole index is gone, right? It doesn't know you have any files.
That's correct.
So kind of pretend that you started fresh today, and you're telling it, hey, index my files, please. Go look here, and re-index, because I think your index is corrupted in some way, or maybe you've reached some sort of maximum, or who knows.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, very much.
Okay, so
I'll poke around in there later, and hopefully I can figure out how to index.
Yeah, go look based on that. I think you'll find your answers.
Yeah, very good.
All right, Jim.
One other quickie?
Sure.
Did you ever hear of a side-by-side error?
Only when I'm dancing with my wife.
Well, yesterday on my laptop,
yeah?
Whenever I tried to go to any website, this window would pop up and it would say side-by-side error. With a lot of gobbledygook I don't understand. I was using Chrome.
Yeah.
Just for the heck of it, I tried the same thing with Firefox.
Mm-hmm.
And Firefox, I could get to some websites, but not others.
Huh.
Without getting this error, I went back to Chrome, and every website gave me that error. Strangely enough, today it's okay.
Well, I'm looking here. There is some sort of portion of Microsoft that has to do with side-by-side. I don't even know what side-by-side is. It's probably some feature of the browser that nobody uses or somebody uses, but not me.
There's a folder that in under Windows that's a SXS, which is S-by-X.
Yeah.
And that stands for side-by-side. It's part of the operating system. So something's not right there.
Yeah, there is a... you can get side-by-side errors just for running Microsoft Access 2010. So it definitely sounds like it's a integral part of the operating system. But if it's working right now, something must have updated and corrected. I wouldn't concern yourself. I've never seen that error before.
Yeah.
But
hopefully I won't see it again.
Well, these are old errors, too. These go back to 2015 that we're seeing as far as the Internet. So how old's the operating system? How old's your machine?
The machine was new in January.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, you got a new error then with side-by-side. Let's just hope it doesn't pop up again, Jim, because it looks like it's integral to the operating system. I don't know what exactly it does. I've never come across it, but let's just hope maybe with an update it cleared it. Who knows?
Well, I'll just keep my fingers crossed.
For now.
Okay.
That's what, us geeks do that a lot, actually, and then the ticket comes back and that didn't work.
Yeah.
All right, Jim.
Very good. Thank you much.
You're welcome. Go index that DLNA. Let's quickly go on to Mark in Glastonbury. Hey, Mark. Mark, you there? Oh, Mark's listening on the radio. Mark, you there? Mark. Oh, going once, twice, three. Mark, you there? You there? There you are. What's up, Mark?
Hey, thanks, man.
Turn your radio down. You're hearing yourself in an echo,
okay,
and that's going to be a mess.
I got a Windows 7.
Yeah.
With HP.
Yep.
Laptop.
All right.
G62. So I went on there, and it didn't have a problem, but I didn't use it for a couple of months.
All right.
Went back on there. It was hard for me to get into the email.
Okay.
Got into the email, and then it said, your browser is not supported.
Supported?
It's not what's that word?
Secure?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, your browser's not secure, exactly.
Okay. So you could be connecting to a site that's not using HTTPS, which would be a secure browser.
Right. I've seen that before. I know what you're talking about. That is not coming up anymore.
Hmm.
So
does it, because I had gotten the free, the one that's free that you spoke earlier.
Windows 10?
No, I got Windows 7. The one that opens
Mozilla
the
Firefox?
I had that for free. Does that time out after a while?
Oh, Mozilla or Chrome or those things?
Right. And it said that I wasn't, also it said that I didn't have that.
Hmm.
Then I saw it on the bottom,
mm-hmm.
and I was going to drag it and install it, but I got afraid because one time I did something similar to that, and I got a virus on a computer.
Yeah, we don't want that.
Right.
So what browser are you using, Mark?
I'm sorry?
What browser are you using?
I'm using Frontier.
Frontier is your internet.
Google.
You're using the little beach ball, Chrome?
It said to use Chrome. I was using the regular, you know, you go on the internet.
The E then, the little
the
E.
Exactly.
All right. So
I would guess if you went to help and go down to about, it's going to tell you what version of Internet Explorer you have. And I would bet that you have an older version, not version 11.
And we tell you to go over to Chrome. So use Google Chrome and then try to connect to your email, and I bet you it'll be secure.
Okay. So when I saw that pop-up come up, I was going to use it, but I was afraid. I said, doggone it, I don't want to get another virus.
No, I don't want you to get a virus either, but you're using OpenDNS, correct?
I had put that on there,
good.
Right? So maybe I can is there a way you could put it on your site so that I can reinstall it to check it?
Reinstall OpenDNS?
Yeah, I had trouble hearing your coworker, your partner there on what he had said, sir. So
yeah, we have links for OpenDNS that you can go ahead and take a look at.
What exactly did he say? Because I could barely hear him.
He wants you to go
to check it.
Chrome. You want to go to go to Help and About of IE. He's assuming Internet Explorer is an old flavor for you, and I would agree. So we want you to download the new version of Chrome and use that as a browser. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Try that and see if that works out for you, Mark.
Okay, can you please put that on your...
We'll do so. We'll put a link to Chrome for you.
Okay, God bless you, guys.
All right, Mark. Our pleasure. Computers can be a big pain for everybody, so we understand. So I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this lovely Saturday morning. And Dr. Alessi will be in next with Healthy Rounds. Everything we've talked about should be posted live over at computertalkwithtab.com. It'll also show up on your Facebook feed if you like Tab Computer Systems. And also, if you follow us at Tab Computer Sys on Twitter, right next to Trump is Tab Computer Sys. Feel free to follow us. We'll see you next Saturday.
See you next week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.